online. It's now 11:15, time for Late Junction, which was recorded at last weekend's Latitude Festival. And hosting the Late Junction stage, Max Reinhardt.
Welcome to Late Junction. We're here at the Latitude Festival, deep, deep, deep in Suffolk, on a balmy summer's evening. In front of me, the multicoloured sheep are frolicking in the fields. It's a very arty festival, you know. Live on stage very soon, we've got cellist Bella Emerson, jazz from the Chewbacca Hutchins Trio, and interviews with Linton Kwesi Johnson and Lyle Lovett. But first of all, an impassioned reinvention of traditional Scottish music. On fiddle, Alistair Kaplan. On bass, Stevie Jones. And the voice and the guitar of Alistair Roberts. The Alistair Roberts Trio.
Thank you very much.
Stone feast and rags and robes.
to you, here's to you, Gilly Rouen. Here's to you, here's to you, Mary Byrne. And to you, Donald Peabody. Come march at the head of the clan. Here's to you, here's to you, Gilly Rouen. Here's to you, here's to you, Mary Byrne. And to you, Donald. Whip crack on, whip crack on, whip crack. No sign of St. Brian in the streets. A whip crack on, whip crack upon, whip crack. God provide for our sea divided reins.
Thank you very much. A few years ago I made a record called Farewell Sorrow, and this song is from that record. The song's called The Whole House is Singing.
sky. And the moon causes the tide to rise and rise. And the wind carried upon the drawing foam. We will gather to bedeck our happy home. The last record that we made was called Too Long in This Condition, Alistair Roberts and Friends, Too Long in This Condition, and it consisted of 11 traditional ballads and one tune, and this is one of those ballads. This is a ballad called Little Sir Hugh. Thank you.
got her mantle hot about, and sore began to weep. She's run up to the Jew's castle when they were fast asleep. My bonnie here, my dear Sir Hugh, I pray you to me speak. Oh lady, run to the deep draw well, if you your only son would seek. So she's run up to the deep draw well, she's knelt down on her knee. My bonnie Hugh, my dear Sir Hugh, will I pray you speak to me? The lead is wondrous heavy, mother, the well is wondrous deep. A keen penknife sticks in my heart, and a word I dare not speak. Mother dear, and fetch my winding sheet, and it's at the back of Merry Lincoln, it's there we two shall meet. Go home, go home, my mother dear, and fetch my winding sheet, and bury me in the sepulchre with the Bible at my feet.
Yeah, you're listening to Lake Junction here at the Latitude Festival, but you knew that. And this, of course, is the wonderful Alistair Roberts. New school Scottish traditional music. You know, well, when I read that you were on the Drag City label, you know, Will Oldham's label, Will Oldham being one of the kings of Twisted Country, really, I thought, how does that work, traditional Scottish music? But now I hear it, it's all in the voice. It's, you've got a wonderful voice. It
thank
sounds
you very much.
Like, sounds like the emotions are being torn out of you. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much. Well, when I sing, I often think about this word that the Scottish travellers have of cornyach, which means, you know, getting to the feeling, the emotional core of the song. It's maybe similar to, you know, duende in the Spanish, with yeah, Spanish songs, you know, flamenco singers, you know.
And it's definitely similar to what Will Oldham does. So tell us the story of how you got signed to Will Oldham's label back in the days when you ran a band called Appendix Out.
That's right. Yeah, well, I mean, when I just left high school, and I spent a lot of time just recording at home on my four track, you know, just in my bedroom, and I was a fan of Will's music. I'd heard the Palace Brothers, his first kind of band project, and given him a demo tape at a concert in Glasgow in 1995, and then I got a postcard saying he wanted to put a single of a couple of those songs that my self-written songs, you know, that I'd recorded at home, and
wow.
So I had a 7-inch single on Drag City, and then kind of worked with him since then.
And you've kind of reinvented Scottish traditional music.
That's a big claim.
Yeah, well, I'm making it for you. It will be bad if you make it on your behalf. Okay, tell us about your fiddle player, who's Alistair Kaplan. Let's hear it for Alistair Kaplan.
Well, Alistair and I have been playing together for about 3 years now. We were introduced through a friend, Donald Lindsay. We met in a park in the west end of Glasgow. And Alistair said he was a fiddler, and I said, oh, we should play together sometime. And so we did. And we made this new record together.
That's excellent. And the bass player?
Stevie Jones.
Stevie Jones. Let's hear it for Stevie Jones.
Well, I suppose I've known Stevie for a long time because we've both been involved in the music scene in Glasgow for a long time in different ways. At the same time, we started playing together about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, I want to hear more, don't you? Okay, so put your hands together one more time for Alistair Roberts.
Thank you. Thanks. We're going to play a new song now. Has anyone heard of Robert Burns?
Yeah.
A little-known Scottish poet. Well, he wrote a song composed in August, which is actually one of my favourite songs, but this isn't that. This is a song composed in December, as I said. She's written some 200 years and 4 months after Abby Burns.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Thank you.
song's made in anger, this song's made in love. Where the croak of the hawk meets the coo of the dove. Where minstrels see slander and rhyme turns to rage. To make a song about the renovation of the age. Well, woe to those who celebrate the taking up of violence, and woe to those who perpetrate delusions of their sirens, who'd fight for their nation with sword or with firebrand. The border or reader in the hide. And joy to those who celebrate the breaking up of weapons, who take a stand to raise a hand against oncoming slaughter. And joy to those who strive to give a voice to those with none. The fosterer of errant son and ward of wild daughter. Woe to those who'd use them to enslave their fellow man. Soar on wings of beauty to cloisters where vestals bear their palms of duty, to waterfall tumbling, cascading and purling, to the flowery macher where the echo mocks the yellow yorlin. From forest deep where Newman's peep from every oak and mow, to city streets where people seek completion of the soul. For everyone with double bond of suffering to thole, I will sow a seed of honesty on the bluebell. Address a thousand heavers, those workers of the evil, I will tremble and they'll fear us, and all those who would take up the quest and so turn into heroes must walk the narrow path that leads between Thanatos and Eros.
And woe to those who'd use them to enslave their fellow man or fellow woman.
Thank you very much. To say thanks very much to Lavish Land, everyone here, and to Late Junction and Radio 3 for having us. And I'd like to say thanks to you for listening.
Cheers.
This is called The Burning of Auchendoun.
Side on a May morning, I saw Willie McIntosh an hour before the dawning. Turn again, I bid ye. If ye burn Auchendoun, Huntly will heed ye. Heed me, hang me, that you'll never fear me. I'll burn Auchendoun, though the life leave me. Auchendoun was in a blaze an hour before the dawning. Crowing, crowing, for all your crews crowing. I've lost the best feather in my wing, for all my crews crowing.
Thank you very much.
The Alistair Roberts Trio, with Alistair on vocals and guitar, Alistair Kaplan on fiddle, and Stevie Jones on bass. And from traditional Scottish music to a traditional dub poet. Well, actually, to the very first dub poet. Hopefully, we can get an interview with Linton Kwesi Johnson, because he's here at the festival. I wonder if he wants to speak to us.
My pleasure.
So, do you perform much these days? Tell me.
Well, over the last year or so, I haven't been doing much because I had prostate cancer. And I'm just in the process of recovery now. So
you're looking very well.
It's 6 months since I had my operation. And I'm starting to get bored, so I've decided to try and find something to do, you know.
So you're back on the road. Is it very different now from when you started out?
Oh, my God, yeah. I was just talking to someone earlier about doing noisy bars and pubs and clubs with John Cooper Clarke back in the 80s. We used to tour together. And to find that literary things are happening at music festivals is something relatively new, really, for me anyway.
Yeah, but what about the whole idea that, you know, people speaking over music? That's changed quite a lot since, what, you started in mid-70s?
I started recording in 77. But of course, I was a published poet before I began to make records. The whole thing's changed now. I mean, we've got the whole hip-hop scene came along, you know, rap and all of that, grime. And now you have people like Dizzy Rascal, who was a big star, you know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's true. And you laid the groundwork.
Well, I don't know. I would like to think I made a contribution.
Yeah, and then there were all those guys like, you know, Cockney Translator, who came in your stead, who also laid that groundwork too.
The late Smiley Culture, yeah.
Yeah, God bless him. Anyway, could you do us a poem, especially for Lake Junction here at Latitude?
Well, I'll do this poem because this year is the 30th anniversary, not only of the Toxteth riots, but of the Brixton riots of 1981. And I wrote a poem documenting what happened at the time called The Great Insurrection. It goes like this. It was in April 1981, down in the ghetto of Brixton, that the Babylon them caused such a friction that it bring about a great insurrection. And it spread all over the nation. It was truly an historical occasion. It was event of the year, and I wish I had been there when we run riot all over Brixton, when we mash up plenty police van, when we mash up the Wicked One plan, when we mash up the Swamp 81. Fi what? Fi make the rule of them understand that we not take no more of them oppression. And when me check out the ghetto grapevine, fi find out all I could have find. Every rebel just a revel in them story. Them a talk about the power and the glory. Them a talk about the burning and the looting. Them a talk about the smashing and the grabbing. Them a tell me about the vanquish and the victory. Them said the Babylon them went too far. So what? We had was fi bun too care. And one and two innocent get mar. But what? Now so it go sometime in a war in star. Now so it go sometime in a war. Them say we bun down the judge. We could have bun the landlord. We bun down the judge. We never bun the landlord. When we run riot all over Brixton. When we mash up plenty police van. When we mash up the Wicked One plan. When we mash up the Swamp 81. Them say we commandeer car and we gather ammunition. We build we barricade and the wicked catch afraid. We send out we scout figure find them we're about. Then we farm up we posse and we make we raid. Well now them run gang up plan counter action. But the plastic bullet and the water cannon will bring a blam blam. We'll bring a blam blam. Never mind scar man. We'll bring a blam blam.
You're still in great voice and you're looking very good too.
Ah, very kind of you.
I wish you well on your recovery. I've got one more question. Mm-hmm. So you're a dub poet and we could quite clearly hear the whole accent of reggae mm-hmm. and dub in what you're doing. But mostly you go out with music, don't you?
Well, I wear two hats. One literary hat and the other my musician hat. But in terms of earning a living, I've been a reggae artist since the 70s, you know, and that's how I earn my living. I mean, nobody earns a living from poetry.
And you've been working with Dennis Bavel since...
I've been working with Dennis Bavel as a sound engineer from 1977 and as band leader from 1982.
And how did you meet him?
I met him... I was a freelance journalist with the BBC for the Caribbean service. It's a program called Caribbean Magazine. I used to try and do interviews wherever I could get them to earn pocket money. I was a student at university in those days. So I went to interview Dennis's band, Matumbi, for the radio program, and that's how we met.
Well, I mean, he's kind of a titan these days, isn't he? And actually, we're going to play a Dennis record.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, he's got a new one out. He's been remixing Steve Mason tracks and he's dubbed it all up and it sounds fantastic.
Great, great. I'm working with him at the end of the month. We're doing a festival in Norway. And then we got gigs in France and Belgium and Spain and all over the bloody place.
Okay. Well, have a great tour and have a great festival and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Lake Junction, and we're at the Latitude Festival. We're waiting for the electric cellist Bella Emerson to come on stage. And while we're waiting, here's a little something from the last festival I was at, Manchester International Festival. Did I say little? Well, it's a piece from a huge multimedia work, Björk's latest encounter with her creative impulse. Like all of Björk's work, it's a mixture of naivety and sophistication, the implausible and the revelatory.
Right now on stage, this is Bella Emerson, and Bella Emerson is a one-woman cello ensemble. I don't know how many cellos you're here tonight, but you'll hear quite a few, because just look at all the looping equipment that she's got there. And she's played everywhere from the Sydney Opera House to even John Peel's Christmas special out at Peel Acres. That's something, isn't it? So please, put your hands together right now and give a big Lake Junction welcome to Bella Emerson.
Thank you. Thank you.
And there she was, live on stage for Lake Junction at the Latitude Festival, cellist Bella Emerson and her amazing array of looping effects. Now, I'm just off to find Lyle Lovett, veteran Texan twangmeister, who's waiting to talk to us in his tour bus. But while I blunder through the darkness, why don't you listen to this? It's from Hongo Calling by Cameroonian artist Blik Bassi. His album follows the tragic historic slave route from Cameroon to Brazil.
Yeah.
Right now, I've come to a tour bus elsewhere on the site, and I've got Mr. Lyle Lovett. Hello, Lyle Lovett.
Hi, Max. Thanks for talking to me.
Well, thanks for talking to us, actually.
I love your hat.
Ah, well. Anyway, explain to us, what's the difference between the music in Austin and the music in Nashville?
Oh, gosh. There are so many talented songwriters and musicians in Nashville. Nashville is really, you know, one of the major music business centers in the United States, along with New York and Los Angeles. Austin is, of course, music business exists everywhere, but it's more of a live music center than it is a music business center. And there are places to play, unlike other places in the country. I mean, there are just lots of places to play, and there's a wonderfully supportive audience. And the difference, the main difference that I find is that artists in places outside the music business centers, and in a place like Austin in particular, think about their audience and the show they might be playing that night, whether it's in a club or in a concert hall. They're not thinking about auditioning for a record company. They're not thinking about doing a showcase. They're thinking about just playing music and playing for the sake of their show and the sake of the live audience that's coming out that night without ambition beyond that. And I think it makes for a different feeling. I think it makes for a different selection of songs, and it makes for different kinds of songs.
And do you think that's why the music's grown differently in Texas and in Austin?
Well, I do think it's music that exists for the sake of the music itself, and without as much of a commercial direction, and I think it just allows for a bit of a broader way of thinking.
When you started out, you were first of all a songwriter. Is that right?
You know, I love to write songs and still mainly perform songs that I write. But I'm also such a fan of other songwriters that I enjoy playing their songs as well. People that were an influence on me, that I consider an influence. People that were a big help to me, people like Guy Clark and Towns Van Zandt and Willie Nelson, who we were talking about just a while ago. People like that. One of the greatest thrills of my whole career was when Willie Nelson recorded two of my songs, and I love songwriters like Willie Nelson and Towns and Guy.
And so, did you spend time on the road with Towns Van Zandt?
I didn't travel with him extensively, but did a few shows with Towns, and really came to know Towns through Guy Clark, who was, you know, such a help to me when I first went to Nashville back in 1984. Guy Clark played my demos for every record company in town before I'd even met him. It was just remarkable. I'd go to town every couple of months, and people would say, "Oh yeah, Guy Clark told me about you." And I thought, well, that's impossible. I don't really even know Guy.
Wow, that's quite a recommendation. And so, did you actually sell songs before you were a performing artist or a known performing artist?
No, none of my songs were recorded before I had a chance to record them myself. So, about the same time my first record came out, Lacey J. Dalton did a couple of my songs, which I was really proud of. I mean, what a great singer she is, and nice lady. And Patti Loveless did one of my songs as well. So I was very proud of that. Emery Gordy produced that record, and I got to go in the studio and listen to Patty record it. It was really a thrill.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about covers, because I propose that the track that of yours, or which features you, that we play after this interview, is one that you made with Al Green. You made with Al Green, and it's a Willie Nelson song.
You know, exactly. Getting to record with Al Green, working a day in the recording studio with Al Green, was just an amazing experience and something I'll always, always remember. That was back in 1993. We recorded that for Country Rhythm and Blues, and just to stand across the vocal booth from Al Green and just try to hold on was quite an experience. Billy Preston played on that track. It was, it was an amazing day. Don Was produced.
It's a great track. It's a shame that there's never been a follow-up to that album. But anyway, thanks very much for talking to me, and let's hear it
Max,
now.
Thank you.
Well, hello there. Mine's been a am I doing? Well, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday.
Ain't it funny how time slips away?
La Lovett and the Reverend Al Green singing a Willie Nelson song, Funny How Time Slips Away. And, you know, they're right, because it's time now for our final act to take to the stage here at Latitude for Late Junction. It's the Radio 3 new generation artist Shabaka Hutchings on tenor, on keyboards Kit Downs, and on drums Tim Giles. So prepare yourselves for a sonic roller coaster ride with the Shabaka Hutchings Trio.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
the extraordinary Shabaka Hutchings Trio, featuring Shabaka on tenor sax, Tim Giles on drums, and Kit Downs on vintage keyboards. And that's the end of live music from the Latitude Festival tonight on Lake Junction. But we'll be back tomorrow night with live music from Kate Tempest and her band Sound of Rum, with music from the Moulettes and also from Spires and Bowden. But for tonight, it's good night from the darkening fields of Suffolk. Why, I can't see a single multicoloured sheep even now. Yet, on the lake, I see a splendid light show. I'm off. Good night.
Hello and welcome from me, Susan Sharp, to Through the Night on Radio 3. The Richard Carr Consort, faithful friends of this programme, are performing three of the greatest French tombeaux in this morning's concert by François Couperin and Jean-Ferry Rebel. In the 17th century, the tombeau was a way of paying tribute to highly regarded musical colleagues. The term was taken from the literary tombeau and eventually took on the form of a stylized dance suite. In François Couperin's hands, it became an apotheosis, and the first one we'll hear is his Grand Trio Sonata in praise of Corelli, seven movements in which Corelli's taken from the foot of Mount Parnassus to the summit, where he's seated beside Apollo. Thank you.
Frenchman praising the Italian style, Couperin's Tombeau Le Parnasse in tribute to Corelli, and published in 1724 in the collection Les Goûts Réunis. Jean Ferry Rebelle's Tombeau to Lully was published earlier in 1712, and the overall impression here is of a dissonant lament. The final movement's called Les Regrets, Regrets. Here's the Richard Carr consort again.
Thank you.
The Tombeau de Monsieur de Lully by Rebel, performed at the 2010 Utrecht Early Music Festival by the Richard Carr Consort, directed by Philippe Pierlot.